6237.
I was all said and done in Vancouver. The United States leaves with its biggest haul ever as far as the medals are concerned. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America, tonight, coast to coast, and everywhere in between. I hope you had a fabulous weekend, whatever it is that you chose to do, spending time with the family, kicking back with a few cold ones. That could be iced tea, too. Watching the Olympics, whatever your choices were. Perhaps you spent some of the time during the day to watch the Canadians and the Americans on the ice in hockey go toe-to-toe, and boy, this game really delivered. Sadly, the United States did not win. Like I said, went all the way to overtime. In the end, it was the Canadians, 3-2 the final score. Sid the Kid, Crosby was the man with the winning goal for the Canadians. But we'll dive deeper into what happened at the Olympics, kind of a little recap when we do sports shorts here on America Tonight. But just know this. Hold your head proud. The U.S., 37 medals, like I said, 9 of them gold, 15 silver, and 13 bronze. Wow. Amazing. An amazing haul. And by the way, the Canadians ended up with 26 medals, 14 of them gold, and the 14 gold was a record at the Winter Olympics, just like the haul that the Americans got overall in the medals was a Winter Olympic game record. Joining us right at the top, boy, I knew he couldn't wait to get in. He took longer when it was his turn. We go across the border to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Canada! Canada! Canada!
Oh, I knew it. I knew you were going to rub my nose in it.
Okay. You won more medals than us, but guess who won more gold than you guys?
I just said that, 14, it was a record that was tremendous for the Canadians. Yeah, right, two records. We had a record, and you had a record for the gold. So
Earlier tonight, after the hockey game, Julie and I were watching the free skate from the figure skaters.
Mm-hmm.
Joni Frechette was skating.
Yes.
And she was skating to her mother's favorite song by Celine Dion, and that's when Julie just she finally totally lost it.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was tremendous that she did it. And plus, she was the flag bearer going into the closing ceremony. That was great. Yeah.
So for sure, don't worry. Because I'm on such a high, I'll let you do it tomorrow night.
Oh, no. We're ready. We are so prepared to do this.
Like I did. No music. Just
No. This is my show, so I like music accompanying me. Are we ready with the music, Matt? No interruptions, please, audience.
We actually, you might have to do it a cappella or wait a couple minutes here because I am having some technical difficulties on this side.
All right, you know what? I will sing it. Nobody talk. No, I want nothing from the peanut gallery. Let Sam be quiet in the background. Make sure that he's down, Matt, so that he can't chime in. And I'm going to give it the old 1, 2, 3, and I will do it without the music. How's that? 1, 2, 3. Oh, Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love in all thy sons command. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true, nor strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. God keep our land glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Sammy?
Better than my rendition of the Star Spangled Banner.
You know, to be fair, though, your anthem is a lot easier than the Star Spangled Banner.
And the head coach for Canada, Mike Babcock, he doesn't have much time to celebrate. He's got a game tomorrow night.
I know, is that crazy? That's what I was saying, that everybody has to pretty much skedaddle. They couldn't really bask in all of the glory of it. I mean, Sid Crosby, what can you say about him? I mean, he is the stud. He is the star. And like a little boy, he has that look on his face. He was just, he was in heaven.
But the funny part is, I know a couple of friends of mine who have friends who are linesmen in the NHL. But when it comes to complaining and, I was going to say the B word, but I don't want to get you in trouble with the FCC. He's like that. He's got this attitude like, I'm the superstar. Nothing should happen to me. You know, is that type of attitude?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean.
Well, remember, you got to have a little bit of an ego, and you got to be able to shake it and back it up.
Yeah,
you know that when you're the star, that's what happens. And Crosby is a star. There's no doubt about it. It was 7 minutes, 40 seconds into the OT, and he shut down. I mean, you know, Brian Miller made an aggressive move, and he was able to get the puck by him.
So I could just picture the next time Pittsburgh plays Buffalo.
Yeah, that might be interesting, huh?
Yeah, and I could just, okay, now I know one of your technicians is from Minnesota.
Right.
And one of the assistant coaches for Canada was Jacques Lemaire.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Is Jacques Lemaire going to rub it in or not? I'm just wondering if he's going to walk in to wherever the Wild play their home games and go, look, guys, look what I got.
No.
No, he wouldn't do that.
No, remember, you know, mostly in hockey, of all the sports and all the people I've covered, ever met, the hockey guys, for the most part, are pretty low-key, really just joking around with each other, absolutely, but not nasty. Uh-uh.
Yeah, I know, and Mikko Koivu, one of his players won a bronze medal.
Uh-huh.
Mikko Koivu. Well, I was happy for Finland that they won a gold medal. I mean, at least they won a medal, because you figure for Timo Solani, this is probably his last kick of the can, you know?
It probably is. You're exactly right, yeah.
Right. And, like, I was talking to friends of mine about getting women's hockey from the Olympics. We've all agreed, give it one more Olympics. If it's still Canada, U.S., and then there's everybody else, fine, get rid of it. But, I mean, look, it takes time. I mean, look, when they first brought in hockey in the Olympics many moon ago, it was always Canada.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
And then came the Soviets for those many years. And now, you know, in men's hockey, it's been, you know, it's been different countries. So I figure give it one more Olympics. And then, like I said, if it's still Canada, U.S., then fine, you know, get rid of it. But, I mean, please, you know. Or
yeah, give it another turnaround. I agree. Give it another turnaround. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, look at Finland. They won a bronze medal. Who knows? Maybe next time they'll win a gold medal.
Yeah, you're right. All right, so you get your payoff, Sam. We're gonna fly. Thanks for the call, and what an exciting games. We'll talk more, I'm sure, the next time that we catch up. But 37 medals for the U.S. Like I said, it was a record, but the Canadians and the gold with 14, it ended up on a high note, I think, for the people of Vancouver with the closing games, or for the Canadians in general, all the money that was spent, and with the hockey team, all of the pressure there. They had to win this, and when are they going to win it? Home ice against the United States. It was a very, very big moment and an exciting way for them to close out the games. I have to admit, as an American and somebody who is really proud of this American team, I was disappointed, hoping that they would be able to get the gold, but they played an incredible game, really, honestly. Ryan Miller was tremendous. He ended up being the MVP of the games, hockey-wise, and you know, despite that overtime loss, and I thought it was well-deserved, so congratulations. They can hold their heads up high. Chile, unfortunately, horrible earthquake. Over 708 people dead. Big story over the weekend. We'll talk about that. But coming up on the flip side, we're going to visit with the ATN head shrinker, Judith Barr, next.
Is it safe to breathe anymore? Crowded public places, global pandemics, and news reports of potential new strains of bacteria and viruses make you wonder. What if there was a germ-killing nasal spray that acted almost like hand sanitizer for your nose? There is. It's called Sinofresh Homeopathic Nasal Spray, and it's a proven germ killer. Sinofresh is a revolutionary doctor-recommended nasal spray that kills a broad spectrum of viruses, bacteria, molds, and fungi on contact in your nose. Sinofresh causes no drug interactions, no loss of smell, no Low Rebound Congestion contains no alcohol, is non-habit forming, and is safe for daily use. Sinofresh must be a part of your family's survival plan. Go to GCNlive.com now and click on the Sinofresh banner. The first 1,000 customers to click on the Sinofresh banner and purchase Sinofresh antiseptic nasal spray are instantly registered to win a free 24-bottle case. Go to GCNlive.com and click on Sinofresh. Breathe free. Breathe safe. Use Sinofresh. It works.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Always a pleasure to have our next guest join us on America Tonight. And I know many of you will be able to relate to what we're going to talk about during this segment. I was shopping the other day and I was looking around. I was like in a Staples or one of those places and I saw that they had like all these TurboTaxes for anything you can imagine. I thought, wow, I thought they just had one little old TurboTax DVD or CD or whatever it is that they give people. But no, now they have like 50 of them. And people freak out. And you can, you know, tax day is a coming. And people get all nauseous and uptight and worried and crazy when it comes to taxes. And you know, you still have some time, but there's no reason to become so anxious, I think, about tax day. It's something that people build up in their mind. So without further ado, in from the green room in Connecticut, ATN head shrinker Judith Barr. Hey, Judith, how are you?
Hi, Kate. It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, it's always fun to have you on the show, like I mentioned, though. Truly, we mean that. And it is, it's true. I bet you even have clients that will come to you and perhaps be just a little anxious thinking about taxes. Why do people freak out so much about taxes?
Well, first, Kate, I just want to say a lot of people freak out about taxes. I've talked to colleagues both in the psychotherapeutic community and in the financial community who say that it doesn't matter how wealthy their clients are, how sophisticated, how wise they are, that there's something inside that really gets triggered. So tonight I'm going to offer several things that maybe can help people understand.
Boy, that would be helpful. Let me ask you this before we jump into the things you're going to offer.
Uh-huh.
Was it the saddest thing when the guy flew the plane into the IRS office in Austin? Mm. Did your heart not sink? Because I understand if he was feeling pinched and he was upset and he hates the system and all those things. But boy, doing that, killing himself, but killing an innocent man too, who had nothing to do with his tax situation. I think somehow people forget that.
Kate, that's a great example, because where I was going to start was there may be stressful things that people face when it comes to tax time, stressful things that they face in the here and now. But the thing is, there's all sorts of unconscious feelings and thoughts and experiences that get triggered by things in the here and now related to many different things, and we're talking about how they're related to tax day.
Yeah.
And when those unconscious things get triggered, people will do things that are destructive, that are bizarre, that are really harmful, that they might not do if they realize that what got triggered in them wasn't here and now. So that's really part of what I want to offer tonight, that when we're under stress, maybe real stress, like on tax day, if it is stressful for you, things will get triggered from our unconscious, from our past, from our childhood, that are still alive inside us today. And first of all, when we're under stress, we will, without realizing it, regress to some place in childhood. Now, we may not completely regress, but there will be a part of us under stress that will regress. And if we don't know that, we're going to act in ways or make decisions that we might not otherwise do. Like, imagine you're preparing for tax day, and let's say you're 35 years old, and you think you're completely in your adult self, but emotionally, you're sitting there trying to figure things out, as though you were 5 years old sitting at a child's table playing with a toy calculator.
So it also could be, so you're right, it goes back to childhood, and it's that relationship and how you feel like you, I love that you mentioned that you have talked to colleagues and it doesn't matter if the people are wealthy or what their tax bracket is or any of that. It is your relationship with money and starting from when you were young and how you were raised and all that, right?
Well, it's your relationship with money itself and whatever money symbolizes for you. Most people think that their relationship with money is just about money. But if I work with people and help them explore what their relationship with money is really symbolically about, Kate, I find that it's usually about somebody in their childhood. Like, let's say on tax day, as you're approaching it, you keep thinking, I have to work hard for money, but I don't get to keep it anyway.
Mm.
And you think that's about today and 2010, and that's it. But if I work with you and I ask you, all right, imagine you have money in your hand, or actually put some money in your hand and say that to the money, I have to work hard for you, but I don't get to keep you anyway. And then they'll say it, and I'll ask them, well, who else could you say that to? And maybe they'll say, well, I could say that to my father. I have to work hard for him, but I don't get to keep him but for a second, even if he's praising me. Or maybe they'll say, from a very little child, as a baby, I would cry and cry and cry and cry to get my mother to come in. But when she would, she would just stick a bottle in my mouth and go on about her business. So I would work really hard for her, crying and crying, and I wouldn't really get to keep her anyway. So imagine if you think you're thinking about and relating to money, but you're really thinking about and relating to your parents or one of your parents, how confusing, how mixed up your relationship with money is going to be, and how freaked out you're likely to be on tax day.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and a lot of people don't have the benefit of you know, the great ATN head shrinker at their disposal, and you're giving this all to your clients, which you can tell you work with them so wonderfully. I can tell just by what you say on our show. So what can people do to, is it vocalize it? Is it talk to somebody? What is it they need to do to get all this gunk out so they don't have to have all this hard times every year when they have to pay their taxes.
Can I offer one more thing and then I'll tell you?
Sure, sure.
This other piece is really important. What I'm describing about this incident with people talking to money and then finding out it was really their parents they were talking to is that we transfer our thoughts, our feelings, our experiences, our perceptions, our decisions from when we were little children, particularly with authority figures, onto people and events and situations and even objects like money in the here and now. And if we don't know that we're transferring something from the past and we're not really interacting in the here and now, we're not going to be able to resolve it. That often happens between couples, too. Mm-hmm. They think they're interacting with each other, but they're not. So one of the things to do is to ask yourself what you're feeling, how intense that feeling is. And if it's much past the 2 or 3, unless you're like really in danger, like you're tied to the railroad tracks or there's a bear right in front of you, it probably means you're regressed, you're in your child self, and you're transferring something from long ago onto the here and now. So ask yourself, what am I regressed or am I really in my adult? Am I transferring something from my childhood onto money or onto the IRS? What am I transferring on? Who am I transferring on? And if you can ask yourself those questions, that can help you begin to tease apart the here and now situation of tax day from whatever from the past you're bringing to it, you're transferring onto it. And from whatever you're feeling that isn't a grown-up feeling, it's a feeling from a child that's still alive inside you that you're transferring on to the current day.
Yeah. Wow. Powerful stuff. Hey, we want to make sure that we get this in because we're getting close to where we're up against it, Judith. But if people, you're offering something to people about Money is a Clue. You've got a Money is a Clue page that can be found on your website. So it's, of course, if you go to www.judithbarr.com/power.
No? Kate, it's just power abused, power healed.
Oh, and then they can just go from there. Okay,
yep.
Perfect. Click on that, and that'll take you right to the Money is a Clue. And there was something else you were going to offer. If they want a free copy of the article, they can have it, Recession
right.
Regression.
There's an article called A Recession Regression. And if they email me from the website, I'll be glad to email that to them in a PDF form. There's some interviews on that page, that Money is a Clue page. One of them is an interview between you and I.
Mm.
There's a home study course for therapists or financial planners. There's a way to reach me if you want to do a consultation with me about your relationship with money. And there's a demonstration of a piece of work I did with someone about money.
Perfect. So no reason to freak out, folks. It's a great website because it just leads you all over the place, as Judith was saying. So once again, so nice to have you on. Judith, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Kate. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, you too. ATM Head Shrinker, Judith Barr. Go to her website. It's good. Power Use, Power Abuse, Power Healed. You'll love it. Stay with us.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard around the world.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
As the economy continues to decline, patriots across the nation are preparing for the worst. The world is changing fast. Are you fully prepared? Or will you be forced to eat government soup? At PatriotFood.com, we offer you 135 pounds of dehydrated food and six varieties of canned meat for half price. And at SurvivalistSeeds.com, we now offer 50 non-GMO varieties of vegetables and over 10,000 heirloom seeds. That's twice as many as our competition for the same price. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Food insurance, just in case. Owned by me, Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
From the ancient lost book of Tobias, we read,
"Then the angel said to him, take out the entrails of the fish and lay up his heart and his gall and his liver for thee, for these are necessary for useful medicines."
This passage tells how livers of fish were important to man's health then and are now. Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality sacred food oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, with fermentation. Cold fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture Products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. For more information and a 20% discount off of first orders, visit greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code RADIO at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good through March 31st. Or call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818. Call Green Pasture Products today.
Or a flat tax, would people still be as stressed out? Somebody said to me over the weekend, why don't we just have a super gargantuan sales tax on everything? So whatever you want to buy, you got to pay buku tax on it. That way, if you want to run around in the same two pair of jeans and the same raggedy T-shirt and keep washing it, then that's cool because you don't have the money to pay the tax for the clothes, but you can... save the money. In theory, it does not work if you make the taxes. Then it's like, you know, that's like going to Europe. And with the crappy euro against the dollar where it is now, it's ridiculous. It's like 64 cents or whatever. So can you even afford to eat if you go and tour Italy or any of those other countries? The answer is probably not. Better bring your crackers with you. So here we are on the flip side, and I told you there was this terrible, terrible earthquake, which I'm sure many of you know about in Chile. Couldn't turn on the tube and not have heard anything about it. I mean, you see the pictures. This is radio, but just picture. It's like when a tornado comes through. It's a similar thing with the earthquake, except for the ground is cracking open, and you might be in the wrong spot and get sucked into that chasm wherever it is. But you see just sticks of what where houses were, and just mangled, just awful. And it was in Concepcion, Chile. So 708 people so far, the death toll is that. It could climb a little bit higher because, you know, you're still climbing through places and digging out and all that sort of stuff. You had 500,000 houses that were destroyed or badly ripped apart. And there's people missing. So that number's going to go higher. And you've got people that are just in pure shock. Pure shock. And you hope you don't have looters, but this is what happens. This is being human. People are desperate, and they start to look for things that they can pick off. And apparently in the streets you could see people wheeling, this is sad, microwave ovens and grabbing things from the supermarkets and, you know, just an ugly, ugly scene. So they have a female president in Chile. President Michelle Bachelet had this to say about where they were headed and how devastated this quake has been to her country.
It's going to take us a long time in the future. We are in front of an emergency that has no point of reference in the past of Chile and Chile's history. That's why I want to tell you about the decisions we have made and to make a call, a request to all the authorities, civil and military, as well as the representatives of the private enterprise and sectors and the institutions to make themselves available to collaborate in the different tasks that we have ahead of us.
All right, so they're just, she's talking about, you heard there, they're just trying to, and that's the translator, they're trying to collaborate, get everything together. They're going to need help from the outside world, naturally. And after that quake hit, the concern was, besides that, was the fact that there could be tsunamis. So there were alarm sirens and evacuations from Hawaii to Japan, but there really wasn't much damage. The surge of water that went across the Pacific could have been devastating, but it turned out it wasn't. So now there's this criticism about maybe there was too much alarmism in this tsunami thing. So why, you know, have this violent earthquake? Because it was 8.8 on the Richter scale. So this is the Earth's crust once again opening up and swallowing people and buildings and, you know, then what happens in the aftermath of that. And I don't understand the criticism on the tsunami warnings because It's like how I was making the analogy of what the wreckage looks like, just like with tornadoes. Why, if you can warn people, warn them, evacuate them. You don't know what's going to happen with the water. It's a wall of water. It looked like it could be damaging, perhaps, to Honolulu. So now these scientists are getting pummeled by talking about tsunamis and the possibilities there. Because what happened was oceanographers issued this bulletin telling the state of Hawaii and some of the other Pacific islands that, you know what, a killer wave is heading your way with some terrifying force, and you should take some urgent action. Now, if I'm the person getting that news, granted, I'm in a panic. It's like a scene from a movie. Call the governor, call this person, and boom, you know, put the sirens out there. But I think that was a smart thing to do. It's sure it didn't materialize. They did get some pretty decent-sized waves. The surfers enjoyed them. But it wasn't that the tsunami or the wave heights they were predicting, any of that kind of stuff. It just kind of showed up on the shores of Hawaii. And so the tourists were there, and they were on the beaches and the restaurants. And the scientists are saying, look, we might have overstated the threat, but they defended what they did. Because if they didn't, they learned lessons, if you remember, from 2004, the Indonesia tsunami that killed thousands of people. They didn't get that warning. They didn't get that warning. So how can you under-warn people? You'd have to defend those guys, not criticize them. Because if it, something else had happened and they hadn't gotten to the people in Hawaii and some of those other islands, and it was horrific, then who's to blame there? People wouldn't have been going to the higher ground. And that's what happened. Lots of people, thousands of people, left the beaches, the shorelines. They went to higher ground on Saturday. And, you know, the Pacific Rim. So you had 53 nations, I guess, or so in that area, and then territories. You know, you look at a map, and you got a little slice of an island here and a little slice of an island here. But there is a great chance, because of the massiveness of that earthquake, that you could have seen an incredible wave. And the example is 2004 and what happened there. Now, at least five people were killed by a tsunami on Robinson Crusoe Island off of the coast. And huge waves hit another port city in Chile. So the monster waves on the Hawaiian shores didn't show up, granted. But they had, they're saying in Kahului Bay, where I was in Maui, that they had feet that, or waves rather, that were more than 5 feet high. So they, you know, they got some bigger waves. And a little bit on the Big Island there too, but the waves that were going to be these the heights that would kill people, they didn't get that, those kind of waves. So you did have people that fled for higher ground, but I think that's okay. I mean, I don't see how they can have this blowback on the scientists who use an earthquake's magnitude and location as the basis for their predictions, and they've got to just refine it with all the information they're getting. They actually have 30 deep water sensors. I didn't know this, that are stationed around. I knew there was something in the water, but I didn't realize that many. But they've got these sensors stationed around the Pacific. So when you get that shock wave and it sweeps across the ocean floor, that's how they detect that. And those sensors are about 15,000 to 20,000 feet below the surface. It does all this stuff. It measures the weight, the water, all that. And then that's how they calculate the tsunami. So I say bravo. If they were a little bit off on the prediction, it didn't happen. So some people headed for the hills, then came back down when it was okay. You know, it's kind of like the fire drills. Oh, we never needed to have a fire drill until it was too late. In this case, I think it was, you know, the smart thing to do. But the sad deal is now in an area that was doing pretty well, Chile was thriving, and certainly of the Latin American countries, they were on the map, and a lot of people visit there. A lot of people do the student exchange thing, all that stuff. Not that they're not going to continue to do that, but there's going to be a lot that they're going to have to make up for. And you don't know what the ultimate price tag is going to be, but predictions are in the $30 billion range. And it's just like Haiti, except for that Haiti, they're poor as dirt there. And in Chile, you're talking about people that had some means. Some of the people had means anyway, not everyone. But it's a different story with the Haiti situation and the Chile situation, except for that they're going to need help, and they're going to need some, I mean, they're going to need money to help get that country back on its feet. They're not going to be able to do it on their own. So who's going to run to the rescue once again? Some way, somehow, naturally, it will be the United States. That's what we do, right? And that's exactly what's happening. The Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, she's going to focus on the earthquake in Chile. The timing is that she's there to do that five-nation tour. So she's trying to build support for coming down on Iran, get more nations on board with that. But at the same time, she's going to have to focus on that earthquake situation there, so that'll change a little bit. Hey, this is a follow-up to what we were talking about last week, the killer whale scenario in Orlando, Florida. They're open for business, and they're doing the exhibitions once again and moving on, despite what happened to the trainer who was killed. And, you know, they were going to do that. It's not that you didn't think they were going to do it. But it starts to bring up that argument again of having a whale in captivity in a small area. And, you know, is this really a safe situation, especially when you have the whale having killed two previous trainers? But money talks, baby, and I have a feeling there's nothing's going to change. Maybe some new rules, though, about approaching the whales and where they stand off to the side and stuff. But just very, very sad that trainer died when she was dragged underwater by the killer whale. Tilikum is the name of the whale. Stay with us.
Lose 1 to 2 pounds a day the healthy way and keep it off with the help of the entire Real HCG diet. With an average weight loss of 1.5 to 2 pounds a day, you can be in that bikini or swimming suit in no time. You've heard of people spending over $700 for this exact same diet at doctor's offices? Now you can start the entire HCG diet for under $100. YourHCG.com is the largest HCG reseller in the entire country, and we want to help you. We have helped thousands of people shed unwanted weight, so call YourHCG.com today. No prescription required. No doctor visit required. No painful injections. With every purchase, we'll provide you with everything you need, including your supply of HCG, unlimited one-on-one phone and email support from one of our amazing health coaches, in addition to a large list of menus, diets, and much more. Visit www.yourhcg.com or call us at 877-748-2709 to order your HCG today. Again, that's 877-748-2709 at yourhcg.com. We love you.
For men who want intimacy and pleasure back in their life, it's not a question of if, but when. So Ben, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back a remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 1-877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C., until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city.
On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 Truth Group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
Call them at 301-452-0090 today.
In Canada, we're done with the Vancouver Olympics. Congratulations to the Canadians who ended up with the most gold, 14 gold medals. That's a Winter Olympics record. They had 26 altogether in the hall, and I think the biggest thing was beating the Americans in hockey 3-2 in overtime. I paid my penance at the top of the show singing "Oh Canada." And the next day or two, that'll be posted on the website, americatonight.net. So if you missed me singing the Canadian national anthem, you can catch it there. For the Americans, 37 medals, 9 gold, 15 silver, 13 bronze. Most medals ever won by a country at a Winter Olympics. So that was something to hang the hat on. There were some great moments. If you were into the Olympics at all, and there were a lot of people that were watching the Olympics because the ratings were sky-high ratings, so there were people watching. What was the biggest, baddest moment from Vancouver? You know, watching the hockey game, I wanted the Americans to win. I would say it was a good moment, though, because, you get all the way to overtime, and it was fun to watch. It was a time well invested, I think. But there are a couple of other things that I would probably highlight, too. From the American point of view, I think Bodie Miller and Lindsey Vonn both winning gold, that was huge. And also the continuation of some tremendous athletes we have, like Shaun White, and, you know, him doing that double McTwist, even though he didn't have to. He's like, hey, people want to see the tricks. They come for the tricks. So he did it anyway, even though he had won
the gold medal. There were some things to take away from, I think, the Winter Olympics. And next time around, it's in Russia in 2014. Let's go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al.
Hi, Kate. That was the best hockey game I've seen in a long time. And Team USA has got absolutely nothing to feel grumpy about or feel ashamed about. You know, none of them smiled when they got their silver medal.
I know.
But, you know, they had nothing. That was they fought their hearts out. I mean, Sidney Crosby just got a lucky break there. I mean, Jerome Iginla was falling. I don't even think Iginla knew where he was shooting the puck to. He just in desperation. So, I mean, those guys played a heck of a game. And you might get a kick out of this. A friend of mine is an ex-patriot. He's an American, right, living up here in Canada?
Sure.
And he's got a T-shirt made up. And before the game, you remember when Team USA beat Finland 6-0 or something? 6-1,
uh-huh.
I think.
6-1.
On the front of his T-shirt, he makes up his own T-shirt. And on the front of his T-shirt, he said, Team Finland can go straight to Helsinki. And then on the back, he said, Team Canada can't. So he was anticipating the next two games. But, you know, like I'm three-quarters American. Three of my grandparents were born in the States, Minnesota, North Dakota. So I didn't know who the heck to root for. I was in a heck of a jam. But, you know, one last thing, Kate. The IOC, the International Olympic Committee, I think they're almost as dumb as the United Nations. The next Winter Olympics are going to be held in a city in Russia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's 1,000 miles south of where the Summer Olympics, 1,000 miles south, of where the last Summer Olympics were held in Russia. Moscow, right?
Right.
That's crazy. Why would they hold a Winter Olympics 1,000 miles south of the Summer Olympics? Does that make a lick of sense to you?
Well, let's just hope that... This is what I'm hoping for. You think Russia winter... Let's hope they get tons of snow and they don't have the problem that Vancouver had
right.
going into this. Let's hope yeah, it.
And,
yeah,
and,
it seems
and
odd.
Also, Kate, do you know... Were there any representatives of the American government? Like Prime Minister Harper, our Prime Minister Stephen Harper was at the game. Was anybody there representing the White House?
No, because remember, that was one of the things Obama said, that he wasn't going to go to the Olympics. So there wasn't that presence there, no.
Well, I think you made a big mistake. Oh, somebody should have been there, Biden or somebody, because, you know, they missed a heck of a game. I know Obama says he's never seen a hockey. I don't know how you can grow up in Chicago and never see a bloody hockey game.
You know what? I kind of agree with you there. Never catching the Blackhawks? I mean, they had some good years, during his years there.
He's got no taste.
All right. Bravo, Al. Al, see, he's Canadian and even with some American heritage, but saying it was tough to decide who to root for. And he's absolutely right that the Americans had no reason to hang their heads because they played a heck of a game. They lost, but they played a great, great, great game. Tomas in Michigan, you have the floor. Hello.
I'm proud to be an American. Well, at least I know I'm free. Yeah, from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee. Woo! What a game. You know, I could not, I'm happy about this Olympics, Kate, you know. The Canadians had a great Olympics. They got the gold medal at the end. Our guys came in, you know, all of Canada thought the game was over, right? And
yeah.
Our guys with nobody in the goal, man, they come in with 20 seconds, boom!
That was crazy. Yeah.
Like, resuscitated the whole world on that one.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it has been good for everybody. It was, I think this Olympics left a happy heart on everybody. And like that last guy said, it is a terrible shame that, you know, our leadership, our president or vice president, nobody, you know, could get on a plane and go over there and congratulate an Olympic team that scored more medals than any other in history, okay? And but let's stay positive, man. That what a way to end the games, right?
It was a good way, and it was very good. The Americans didn't have the pressure. They wanted to win. They played incredible throughout. They got there, and like you said, the empty net goal was. I screamed so loud and jumped so loud, I thought the cops were going to come to my place. I was so excited. I was, like, unglued. And then they lost in overtime, but they, you know, it was a good game. You're right. It was excellent. It was one of the best games I've seen in a long time.
I mean,
and it was good Olympics.
If we had beat the Canadians, it would have been so sad. Because they had, you know, they needed that game so bad. And it put them over. Now they broke the record for gold medals in a game.
Yep, 14.
We broke the record for total medals. It's a win-win situation, and I give congratulations to all the Canadians out there listening. And I thought your rendition of "O Canada" was excellent. And I think it was on that America, that show, that Idol thing. Yeah, check it out.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, I don't think so. But I appreciate the praise anyway. I'll take it. Thanks, Tomas. Have a good one. Yeah, like I said, I think I got lucky in O Canada because a short national anthem, much harder to sing the Star Spangled Banner. You know how it's hard. I've been twice to auditions, once at Yankee Stadium when I worked in New York, and once in Texas at Ranger Stadium, actually, where the Texas Rangers play in Arlington, Texas, and watch them do these auditions. All kinds of people trying to do the national anthem, some of them incredible, and some of them that were singers that just really didn't hit the notes, because you have to have somebody doing that song a heck of a lot of games, right? And it really is humbling to try to sing that song. It's a little bit different, so I was cut a little bit of slack, I think, having to do the Canadian national anthem, certainly. A couple of other quick things as we wrap up this hour on ATN. I know some of you might still be staring at the white stuff in the northeast. Boy, it seems to hit those power lines like nobody's business. About 200,000 houses and businesses still without power, even right now as we're heading into Monday. They work as fast as they can, but it was just, the Northeast was just battered with heavy, heavy snow. Then you mix it in some parts with rain and the high winds, and it's an absolute killer. New York was clobbered. They had like 87,000 outages, and, you know, the way the Northeast is, I'm not talking about New Hampshire, even in Maine, and even Massachusetts, but some of the other areas like the Jerseys and Philly and New York, they're not used to that kind of snow, and they just don't have the equipment to go around to do the things that you need to do. In fact, sad story, in southern New York, the weather was linked to somebody's death. You had a 60-year-old man who was found dead after he went outside to shovel snow. How awful. And just, I guess he just couldn't get back in and wasn't warm, and that was that on that death. But the storm dumped about 2 feet of snow in New York. Some of you listening to me there, 8 inches of rain in parts of Maine, and the wind was the thing. You had wind gusts in New Hampshire, 92 miles an hour. So Punxsutawney Phil, even though PETA was trying to get Punxsutawney Phil to go away and they wanted a robotic groundhog, I think that creature was right on. 6 more weeks of winter. Remember February 2nd? And boy, we certainly have seen it. You know, earlier we were talking to the ATN head shrinker, Dr. Judith, about tax day and how it freaks people out. Just remember what Lee Iacocca said. The trick is to make sure you don't die waiting for prosperity to come.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?